Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
It's football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
We have on tonight live here on The Fan is the Home Run Derby, which will ruin the swing of millions of young baseball players all over the country.
It's true.
I mean, it's awesome to see what these guys can do. I'm not going to lie. It's incredible. But it's so goofy. It's baseball and it's not baseball all at the same time, Chad. But we'll save that conversation for another time. I want to get to the comments of Aqib Talib that the Zokley Show was talking about earlier. And Aqib Talib and MMQB. And was this with Klemko, Big Sexy? Was it with Klemko, our buddy? Robert Klemko is a writer for MMQB, and he's based here in Denver. And he's a great guy, and we've had him on many times. Anyways, Aqib Talib was talking about Denver, and he said maybe they should stop firing all the dogs. You need some dogs to win.
Does he say who these dogs would
be? No, of course not, because God forbid you actually put some names with your ridiculous statement, but no.
Here, really quick.
Yeah.
He says, as for Denver, the veteran of four NFL teams has one parting recommendation to management. Quote, maybe they should stop firing all the dogs, Aqib said. That team was full of dogs, and now they're all gone. So stop firing all the dogs.
Yeah.
Who got fired?
Nobody got. T.J. Ward.
Okay.
That's it. See, the problem with Aqib, the things that make him very endearing and entertaining are also the things that drive you nuts about the dude. This is a guy talking about, you know, bad management. This is the same management team that kept him with the Broncos, even though he shot himself in the leg and made him a captain.
It was a squirrel, man. Come on.
And this is the same guy who, dogs? So I guess by your statement, Aqib, you're a dog, right? I mean, I'm assuming he's lumping himself in there, Chad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because TJ's gone and he's gone. So I guess he perceives that he was fired. Okay, Aqib.
You make any sense of this?
No, the only thing I can make sense out of is that Aqib's not a bright dude. He's really showing some unfortunate colors on the way out of town here, Chad, in my opinion. You know, his effort in the final game against Kansas City was pathetic.
Abysmal, poor.
His berating of the head coach that I found out about last year was embarrassing. The temper tantrum the entire defense held because TJ Ward was released was unprofessional and immature. John Elway made the right decision when it came to TJ Ward.
No doubt about it.
But, you know, hey, maybe John didn't realize the psyche of the defense was so fragile that it turned out to be, I guess, an emotional, psychological mistake.
How about this?
John was just judging things based on crazy football playing.
What if he's referring to Wade Phillips as well?
Well, Wade wasn't fired either. Wade was offered a contract. Maybe he is. He loves Wade. Aqib Talib is going to get lit up like a Christmas tree this year, Chad.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Teams are going to go after him like he's the weak link. Wait for it. Teams were starting to understand that last year, by the way.
Oh, really quick, now, in the same article, Aqib said about Joe Woods' defense last year, it was the same defense, but we called less stuff. Wade had it really wide open. It really wasn't as open in 2017. It was like the beginning stages of Wade. It was a new coach to this, so things were a little less disguised with fewer calls. If we had 40 calls available to us in a game in 2016, we had half of that last season.
All right, well, okay. So now I'm agreeing with Aqib because Joe Woods is a terrible defensive coordinator, which is true. But that's also the guy who used to be your cornerbacks coach. That was your position coach, Joe Woods. So you don't like Joe Woods. That's what I get from that, Chad. I don't like Joe Woods.
Sounds now, like a guy just trashing people as he leaves town.
Now, this is... I don't like Joe Woods as a defensive coordinator, Chad. He's not good.
They finished decently in defense last year.
Yeah, but Joe Woods does not know what he's doing. He's not a good DC. It was his first year doing it. Maybe he gets better this year. He was bad last year. We had just bad coaches. I mean, we had coaches that did not know what was going on.
Defensively, tell me about this time where it looked as if people had no idea what they were supposed to be doing. Because that's what I would get from a
Philadelphia game when they put up 50 points on us. I don't know. You want me to go through all the mind-numbing blowouts that happened?
Aqib Talib had his eyes in the backfield, and the receiver ran past him.
Oh, dude, Aqib had such a mediocre season last year. It was ridiculous.
But that's got nothing to do with Joe Woods as a coordinator.
Doesn't have my respect as a coordinator.
Okay,
if he's got your respect, fine. But the more I looked at it, and listen, here's what fooled people a little bit about Joe Woods. On the surface, he's like the nicest guy in the world. And he is so friendly on the surface, always smiling, always in a good mood, happy to talk with you about anything. It's tough when guys who are super nice stink at their job. You'd like to think that people who, you know, stink at their job are also like Rick Dennison, who was terrible at his job and was a horrible person to be around. That makes it easy when you're like Rick Dennison. Rick made it easy on everybody. But, and Wade was interesting because Wade was super smart and played it off like he was, you know, Hank Hill. They'll run the propane, store downtown. Wade wasn't like that at all. Wade was, not retaining Wade Phillips was a gargantuan mistake. But firing all your dogs?
I don't even know what that means.
It means that you were upset about T.J. Ward, and you acted like a bunch of babies because of it. T.J. Ward's done. I don't know how else to put it. He was hurt. He wasn't very effective during camp. He went off to Tampa Bay for $5 million, got hurt again, and was busted with a ton of weed in his apartment where it's not legal to have in Florida.
All not good.
Wait till you see what NFL offenses do to Aqib Talib this year, Chad.
We are going to find out.
We are going to find out.
Because we know what style defense Wade Phillips runs.
Yeah.
He's not going to change that at all when he goes to the Rams.
Yeah.
Although they're going to have a pretty impressive pass rush with Aaron Donald and Sue up front.
Just wait and see. If quarterbacks have time, they're going to be looking to whoever Talib's on. Don't sit around here if you're a real Broncos fan and defend Aqib Talib, okay?
Whoa.
This guy is trashing the Broncos as he scurries out of town left and right. I guess Chris Harris isn't a dog. I guess Justin Simmons isn't a dog. I guess Darian Stewart isn't a dog. I guess Derek Wolf isn't a dog. I guess Brandon Marshall isn't a dog. Right? Because they got rid of all the dogs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? That's the problem, because John Elway got rid of all the dogs. So if you're racing to the text line to rip me for ripping Aqib Talib, be careful. And think about what this dude is saying. And then go back and watch Aqib Talib, the dog.
No, it was down here. There's no doubt about it.
Go watch him closely. And especially watch that final, pathetic five or six plays that he checked in with at that Kansas City game to wrap up the season. Go check out that dog.
I don't think any Aqib Talib fan could defend what we saw last year. How could you?
It's insulting comments. Is he right about Joe Woods? Okay. I mean, if you kept it to that, I'd be fine with it. Because Joe Woods did not know what he was doing. And then our special teams coordinator did not know what he was doing.
If we had 22 Janos, we would be all right.
And McCoy was just assumed he was the head coach. And then VJ did not know what he was doing. Well, we had a lot of people that did not know what they were doing. We had a messed up situation, But getting rid of the dogs, that wasn't part of the problem. This is The Drive.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Scott, you're on Sports Radio 104.3.
Hey, guys. Hey. How you doing?
Super.
I had two comments on that you made, D-Max, last section there. First of all, I have to stand up for Aqib Tlaib in this manner. Remember that FBI agent who got on the floor and accidentally shot off his gun?
Yeah, I
and
do.
He shot someone. At least when Aqib Tlaib accidentally shoots off a gun, he only hits himself.
That's true. That was a good thing. He was drunk and high at the time, but that's cool. Yeah, that's good point, Scott.
At least when he shoots himself. And right. Secondly, I think you finally answered the internal question that was put forth by the Baja Boys. It was John Elway who let the dogs out.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
Bada bing, bada boom. We'll be here all week. Try the veal.
Whenever I'm high and drunk together, I like to play with guns.
Yeah.
I love you, Scott.
Yeah. Who let the dogs out? Elway.
Roof.
Elway. John didn't, listen, man, nobody's been more critical of certain things about Elway than me, that's for sure, but he did not make mistakes by getting rid of T.J. Ward. The thing that he probably couldn't anticipate is the crybaby mentality of Aqib Tlaib. Okay. Team captain, by the way.
Aqib wasn't the only one who complained about T.J. Ward.
No, he was not. We had a bunch of cry. We should have got a bunch of Depends or Pampers for the secondary after T.J. Ward left. That's how they acted.
That was just, it was unprofessional. If you don't recognize how this game works and to think that the general manager or the coach are doing moves to not make your team better.
They should have retained Wade Phillips. And I think what happened there was a power battle with money and like, you know, who's really in charge. And Wade, you know, had this gosh golly, you know, sort of thing. Wade has a huge ego. And definitely, by the way, stoked the fires the year after the Super Bowl about the defense carrying the offense. Wade was no hero when it came to that department. He was quick to point out to his fellas that, you know, it was all on them and the offense was terrible during the 9-7 season. But that being said, he's a really good defensive coordinator, and they should have kept him around.
Yeah.
They should have kept him around. And they would have had to pay a lot of money for him. And it wasn't great the way he was, you know, stabbing basically everybody in the offense in the back. Wasn't great. But it was worth keeping around and just sort of managing it in a different way.
Again, new head coach, find the old wise Yoda on one side of the ball or the other to handle that for you so you can devote your attention to learning what it is to be a head coach and you can have trust that that side of the ball is completely taken care of and handled.
Yeah, and it's I don't think Wade wanted to be a head coach. I don't believe that. But that being said, I don't know how he would have felt about VJ being the head coach. I think there would have been much, much, much better balance if Wade was the head coach. Think about this not the head coach, I'm sorry. Wade's the DC. And then you hire Kyle Shanahan to be your head coach, and he oversees the offense. And then Mike McCoy never comes here. And so what you would have is more balance. You would have Wade more or less defensive coordinator slash defensive head coach. And you just let Wade be Wade.
Which is what he's doing now with the Rams.
Right.
Sean McVay is the head coach, but he's the offensive coordinator. He's sitting on the bench or on the bucket when the defense is on the field talking to his quarterbacks.
Right. But it was confusing with Vance because Vance is a defensive. It's weird because he was a quarterback in college, but ultimately he's been a cornerbacks coach, defensive coordinator for 1 year. So he's been in the NFL, he's a defensive guy, right, Chad?
Right.
So it would have been odd to have VJ from a defensive side of things and Wade Phillips. Like, John Fox was a defensive sort of guy and let the offense to Mike McCoy and Adam Gase, more or less.
Mike Tomlin was a secondary coach, and he let Dick LeBeau run the defense. Worked out well.
Well, all right.
They got some diamond and gold hardware
It just would have made more balanced sense if Wade's the DC and Kyle Shanahan's the head coach focusing on the offense. That's all. And it was right there. It was all right there.
I don't care what side of the ball the head coach has more experience on, to have a Yoda-type coach at your disposal on either side of the ball, even on the side of the ball that you feel like you're an expert on, is only going to make you better.
Well, maybe. But VJ didn't know what he was doing. Didn't know how to coach the coaches by his own words. Going to get better at that. And, man, dilly-dilly. And now you don't have Wade Phillips. And you promoted Joe Woods. Why? I don't know. Got me. He wasn't ready for the job either. And then you hire Brock Olivo. Why? I don't know. I mean, it was like, let's hire all the assistants to be in charge now. And what did we really expect with that lineup last year? It was a bit ridiculous, right?
As I said last year, you come into the year with all these question marks. It's impossible for them to fall right together like it's some action movie plot. All the little coincidences are not going to happen. Bad stuff is going to happen when you have all these question marks. Question mark about quarterback. Question mark about offensive line. Question marks on the coaching staff.
Right.
All those can't pan out well. Some of them are going
to...
Most of those are going to go bad for you when you have a question mark on your team.
Right. So different this year.
Is it?
We'll get there next.
Busted. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents... The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
This here's a jam for all the fellas. Try to do what those ladies tell us. Get shot down because you're overzealous. Play hard to get the females.
They'll get jealous.
Okay, smarty, go to a
party.
Come on,
Chad, you know
girls are scantily clad and showing body. A chick walks by, you wish she could sex her. But
yeah, I'm aware.
Like you were playing
Dexter. Next day's function, high class luncheon. Food is served in your stone cold munching.
There you
go. Music comes on, people start to dance. But then you ate so much, you
split your pants.
A girl starts walking, guys start gawking. Sits down next to you and starts talking. Says she want to dance because she likes the groove. So come on, fatso, and just bust the move.
So motivation for this one, Big Sexy, is there just for fun? Yeah, that's fun. I like it.
Okay.
I was on the college radio station. Like this was a new song. Hey, you gotta hear this one. What's this one? Bust a Move. 80s, baby. I was like, wow. You think he'll have another song? And he did. He had one other song.
Right.
It sounded just like this.
Showing, so you're going. Could care less about the five you're blowing. Theater gets dark just to start the show. Then you spot a fine woman sitting in your row. She's dressed in yellow. She says hello. Come sit next to me.
You do know that he's still touring, right?
Young MC?
Young MC.
Where can I catch him?
If you're feeling crazy, you can drive all the way to, there's one in Portland, Maine, and then he'll be in Topeka, Kansas, and Clarkston, Michigan.
Wow.
Yes.
What kind of places do you think he plays in Topeka and Clarkston? How many seats do you think those venues hold?
It's a Young MC set, because he's got one song that everybody knows, another song that some people know,
right,
and a bunch of songs that nobody knows.
Oh, man, he's playing the I Love the 90s tour.
Oh, that's a big tour.
That's the one that I went to, front row.
That's 10,000 people.
Right. So he comes out, he does his two songs and hops off, and someone else comes up
and
does two songs.
He probably does 20 minutes, yeah.
Houdini comes up and does 5 minutes of funk, right?
Houdini.
Biz Markie.
No. Nobody beats the Biz. Come on.
Montel Jordan. Vanilla Ice.
This is how we do it. Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody comes and does.
Everybody's got like
songs.
A 20-minute set.
Yeah. Well, 12.
They're at the.
Bust a Move is probably 12 minutes by itself.
Kansas Expo Center. If you've heard of that at all.
You know, it probably is like Fiddler's, where it holds 10,000 people.
Good for
I'm sure
those 40 acts who all do.
It's
two
like
songs.
Back in the day. Like if you ever saw that Tom Hanks movie about That Thing You Do, mm-hmm. remember that?
Yeah.
They all get on the Playtone bus.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody just does like three songs and they move on. What do you mean? Why are you ringing the buzzer on me?
Because I don't know what you're talking about.
That Thing You Do.
I've never heard of that.
Tom Everett Scott. You doing that thing you do. It's about 60s pop bands, boy bands, 60s bands. And back in the day, a record label would put all the acts together on a bus, and they would just tour state fairs all over the country all summer.
Barnstorming is what they called it.
Yeah. So, you know, you'd have 7-8 acts on the same bus. You'd all play for 15-20 minutes, and then, you know, next. That's the way it was.
Yeah. Did you not watch the Richie Valens story?
I sure did. I was just thinking about that. I absolutely did. And that's what happened with Buddy Holly, the Big Bopper, and
Big
Richie
Bopper.
Valens.
Mm-hmm.
They were on a barnstorming tour. They were in, like, North Dakota, and instead of just getting on the bus, they had a private plane, and they unfortunately chose the plane instead of the bus. That was the end of Richie Valens, Buddy Holly, and the Big Bopper. Hello, baby. I love my music history.
I took a music appreciation class at University of Colorado.
That was a waste of money.
Man.
Let's go to Jackson. Jackson, you're on the fan. What's up, Jackson? Jackson?
Hey, guys, I'm here.
Hey,
hey,
so
hey man.
I was a little bit disappointed, D-Mac, in your opinion about the guy laying the kid out at the Rockies game. The first thing I thought when I saw that was that I hope that he didn't break that kid's neck. And
that's what I said. Roommate. What do you mean, dude? So I said the same thing. I said the guy should have been arrested.
Oh, you did say that?
Yeah.
Maybe you said it before I hopped on the radio.
Turns out his name is, he's a kid from Bear Creek. He's a high school baseball player. What was his first name? You remember, Kyle? No. No, I said, like, it was vigilante justice. We were joking because Chad said it was a form tackle, like, straight out of, like, film school, like, exactly what you would need. And I said, like, who deputized that guy?
All right.
That being said, yeah. I mean, yeah, I thought the guy, it was amazing. The guy who was the running across the outfield didn't break his back.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too, because I only heard the last part of what you said, but I had a buddy who, his best friend got in a bar fight and ended up pushing a kid, and now he's in jail for the next 10 years. And so I just was going to say that, yeah, I definitely don't support any sort of, like, vigilanteism at all.
Yeah, if you're going to do anything, just stick your foot out as the guy runs up the stairs. You know,
Clay.
You can trip him.
Clay's the kid's name.
Well, I don't, you know what, let's leave the kid out of it because
he's
underage and all that stuff. So, but Jackson, no, I mean, it's
tackle,
funny to watch because it appears everybody's okay. But there's no doubt that you should steer clear of any of that crap. Nobody's asking you to help out. You know, Coors Field or you know, Broncos Stadium at Mile High or wherever, they've got plenty of security people. And by the way, it's a dude running on the field who's probably intoxicated. I mean, it's not like he's, you know, hurting anybody. He's just one of those dudes. He's being chased by overweight security people in yellow jackets and nobody deputized.
Do you guys remember that one?
Thank you, Jackson.
First base coach for the Chicago White Sox that got attacked in Kansas City?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Just in case you guys forgot about that.
No, I did remember that. It was by a interesting father-son Nazi combo team.
So who's to say that one person who just wants to run across the field has one agenda as
yeah.
opposed to another person who's got a completely different agenda? When you're on the field or you're in the field of play
mm-hmm.
and you don't know what a person's agenda is when they hop that wall. So regardless if he's running around like a drunk idiot or if he actually has an agenda to go out there and hurt somebody, he's got to get off the field. And it's really unacceptable for him to be out there.
I agree. So
I agree,
let him be, you know, corralled by security. Listen, let's not make too much of this. I don't want to get too serious because it's just a goofy kind of topic. Yeah, the guy, what was the guy going to do? He's going to run up the stairs right into the arms of security. What, you don't think there's security on the other side? He wasn't going to get away or anything. And by the way, I'm not for people running onto the field. Now, I've been there when it happens, Chad. It slows down the game. It's foolish to watch. Everybody gets all hyped up for it. It's just dopey. It's stupid.
Yeah, I'm happy on TV they've, you know, take the cameras away. They don't give those guys their moment of glory they're looking for.
But that being said, I'm not looking for, you know, superheroes in the crowd. We're not the Avengers out there. We're just at a ball game.
Well, how about when players execute a little vigilante justice to the streakers on the field? It happened up in, I think, Canadian football just a couple weeks ago.
I have less of a problem with that. I mean, especially football players because they're, you know, like wearing pads and stuff. I mean, I guess you can help out. But I just stay away from it completely. Now, I agree with you. Like, hey, listen, if you want to go through the nuts of the world out there and the damage they do to athletes, sure, we could have a reasonable conversation. It was a lunatic that attacked Monica Seles a ton of years ago and stabbed her in the back.
Literally.
Who jumped out of the stands. So, yeah, you know, there needs to be certain precautions.
And then every now and again, you get something like this that happens.
Four looks into the nickel of San Francisco in the secondary. Hey, somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms, bare-chested. Somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Here comes the blue coat.
Oh,
Kevin.
They got him.
Here comes
They're coming
the blue
from the
coat.
Left. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
That was the most exciting thing to happen tonight.
I tell you what, that was a great call on your part.
Kevin Harlan.
It was a great call.
Kevin's the best.
Yes. Love Kevin.
I don't know. It was probably all right. The guy tackled him, I suppose. It was pretty dangerous, though. Security gave him a game ball. Somebody gave him a ball.
Umpire, in between innings, came and gave him a ball. Umpire saw it and was like, here, here you go, kid. Nice tackle. Good form. Way to wrap your arms.
I mean, I'm on the fence between, like, that was awesome and, like, what are you doing? I don't know. Can we live in that gray middle?
Yeah, because life is really about the gray areas. Our society is so gray right now. It's a joke. It's clearly black and white.
Yeah. I'm sure the guy running across the field, the last thing he thought is that he was going to get sacked by a audience member. You know, he's trying to keep his head on a swivel for, you know, the overweight guys in the yellow jackets.
Right.
He didn't know... you know, Thor from Bear Creek was about to lay the hammer.
Vigilante justice. That was right. Least expected.
All right, Bill, hang in there. You got comments, 303-713-1043. This is The Drive on The Fan.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
What's up, Scott?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, I've got a funny story as to what you were talking about earlier about football players and drunks running onto the field. A friend of mine and old boss of mine, Garth Jacks, he played 11 years in the NFL, came up, was drafted by the Cowboys, played 8 years for the Phoenix Cardinals.
Arizona Scott, have you ever told a story before? I'm going to help you out here, dude. All right. First of all, just get to your story. Just say, hey, guys, a friend of mine who was an ex-football player was at a game, and then tell your story.
Gotcha. Sorry.
So, all right.
Okay. Anywho, it was one of the early games of the season there in Phoenix. Garth was seriously dehydrated. This is what he told me. Had like 5 or 6 IVs going at halftime. Said he felt like crap. And they came out to start the second half. And this drunk guy runs out onto the field, picks up the ball, starts running away with the ball. And Garth was like, oh, heck no, that's not going to happen. And he ran over and literally just tackled the guy, pancaked the guy. And they ended up losing the game. But Monday when they were viewing the film, Buddy Ryan said about the only bright spot in the entire game was when Jackson put that tackle on that drunk.
So there you go, Scott. That's a good story. That is a good story. You just got to tell a little bit better. But that is a funny story. The story is you were friends with a pro football player on a team so bad that the best tackle was the drunk guy. That's good.
That's it.
All right. Thanks, Scott. I don't care about the rest. That's good.
I like Scott's story.
I like Scott's story, too. But, you know,
All the little funny things that happened.
What did the IPs have to do with the story?
He was a little frustrated, a little angry. He was a little sour.
We didn't need to go into
he was dehydrated.
Oh, okay.
So that made him, you know, a little extra angry. So he took it out on this guy.
Gotcha.
Streaker on the field guy.
Gotcha. Right. Should I try another one?
Yeah, let's get one more. What happened to Bill? I wrote Bill down earlier.
Oh, all right. Hold on. I'll go to Bill. Hey, Bill. What's up, Bill?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Bill.
Super.
Hey, I was just listening to you talk about Buddy Holly and the Big Bopper and all that, and I just didn't know if you had knew who gave up their seat to the Big Bopper on the plane.
Waylon Jennings.
Very good. Very good. That's all I had.
Thanks, Bill.
That's good. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's good. Wow. I'm impressed. So Waylon Jennings should be dead.
Yeah, he was the bass player, I think, for Buddy Holly.
Damn, dude. Good
one. I took music appreciation. I told you.
All right. Never mind. Holy cow. I'm impressed.
Keep up, man. Keep up.
I am impressed. Chris, you're on the fan. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. I'm afraid to tell this story now because of the guy before me. But, all right, really quick, you got to Google Peter Jacobson tackling a naked guy running out on the 18th green at the 1985 British Open.
Okay.
Peter Jacobson lays him out.
Peter Jacobson's a pretty tall. Yeah, he's a, you know, a lot of golfers also played football, you know, and Peter Jacobson's a rather tall dude. But
Google it, look it up. It's a
Jacobson, that's great. So Jacobson laid a guy out on 18 who was naked.
On the 18th green at the 85 British Open.
Good stuff. Thank you, Chris. Oh, you nailed that story. What's killed that? It.
Could you find a naked guy?
Bruce Gossage tells a very famous, funny story about him getting in a fight when he was with the Yankees in the shower room. And his advice is you just never fight naked.
No, you don't do it. I've seen fights in the showers, and now I've seen fights in the locker room with naked people.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
It's awkward to break up. There's nothing to grab.
Right.
When there's something to grab, you don't want to grab.
Wait, hold on. Have you seriously seen a fight between naked dudes in a shower? Yeah. You got to give me this. Really?
Yeah.
When and where?
Seattle.
Okay.
Who? Kirkland, Washington. Team facility. It wasn't Cortez Kennedy. I don't know if I can give the names away.
Who cares? It was probably 30 years ago.
Two
of course you can.
Two defensive linemen. Antonio Cochran was one of them.
Nice name.
Other guy was...
Nice name for this. It's a full-time job for me. It's a part-time job for you. So let's just keep things in perspective.
And the other guy was... his nickname
How about if Antonio's nickname was Tony? How about we just keep it there?
The other guy's nickname was Silverback.
I'm assuming he's... You know what? Just tell the story.
Two large defensive linemen slipping and naked in the shower, sliding everywhere. It was disgusting. Yes.
Who broke it up?
Enough people
Not
yelled.
You.
No one was willing to dive in
and
get wet, so to speak.
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No, I haven't been in a fight since fifth grade. So the odds of me fighting anybody naked with I'm not even I barely hung in there with Travis Doty in fifth grade. We got a week long suspension. We had to hang out with the custodian who apparently was building a canoe in the basement of the elementary school, which was
dilly.
Creepy on so many levels that I can't even explain.
Oh,
that was the weirdest punishment. Like we had to, there was no detention because there were no late buses, but we couldn't go out to recess for a week, and we had to hang out with the custodian in the basement. It's just there was nothing.
That's nothing. It's all ill advised.
So we had this, you know, custodian for this elementary school show us his canoe that he's been making in the basement of the elementary school.
That was your punishment.
It was strange.
You could have been in the shower with Antonio Cochran.
I know him better by his nickname. Tony.
Oh, my goodness.
The running onto the field. I will tell you this quick story. I used to play men's baseball, and we were playing at Regis University, and I swear to God, I am not making this up, during a Sunday afternoon men's baseball league game, a dude streaked across the field. There was an open gate in sort of right center, and he ran from right center, and there was kind of another open gate, you know, in left, and he... I mean, there might have been, like, nine people in the stands, you know, wives, girlfriends, a kid. I mean, maybe nine, maybe 10 people amongst the two teams. This dude streaked across the outfield at Regis.
Was he laughing as he was running?
We were all, it was actually, you know, we all talked about it later, like, hey, we were playing at something significant enough to get a streaker at. Like, that's pretty cool. I guess it was kind of funny to have him streak because nobody stopped him. I mean, you know.
Just watched him go.
There he goes.
It's a naked guy.
Timeout. And this guy, he's kind of yelling at he's running. And just, not a stitch of clothes on.
Did he circle back to the parking lot and get a car and peel off?
We don't really know what happened to him. I mean, he literally just ran across the field naked and.
Just kind of disappeared.
Yeah. I mean, nobody tried to stop him. Nobody
chased after him. Hey, come here, man. Naked guy. Slow down.
Yeah, he held up a men's league baseball game for about 25, 30 seconds, maybe. I mean, you know.
He was just like the seventh inning stretch entertainment.
Yeah, it was really not that big of a deal. How many games have you been part of that somebody's interrupted by the running on the field thing?
I can't think of one.
Is that right?
I can think of locker room fights. I can think of shower fights.
You've never been in a game where somebody ran on the field?
No, I don't think so.
I got you beat in that one?
You do.
Wow. I was not expecting that.
I got you beat in the shower fights with...
Yeah, definitely got me beat in the shower fights.
Yeah. Antonio's nickname was Big...
Big Tony. You don't need to be Pat Tony. Antonio's nickname was Big Tony. It's fun to have a Chad here, isn't it, everybody? Never quite sure what's going to happen when good old Chad Brown is in the house.
Oh, man. I mean, we were talking sports a little while ago, and now suddenly it's basements and janitors and canoes and naked people's nicknames.
Well, it was all spurred on by the, you know, dude at Coors Field running across. Apparently, everybody and their brother has videotape of this guy running. There's tons of video on social media. And then Sean Brennan, our prestigious sales manager here, breaks out his wife's video. She videotaped it from the outfield. So, hey, man, you got to see this. It's hysterical. And I'm like, oh, my God, yeah, that's the guy. Then we found out the tackler is a high school student at Bear Creek, plays baseball.
Used to play football.
Did he?
Yes.
Where'd you get that update?
The text line is an amazing source of information.
It's lighting up with that?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right. Clay, I think his name is.
Yeah, but you don't learn that kind of technique just playing baseball. I mean, that was picturesque. That was beautiful.
It was impressive.
I can coach off of that.
And somewhat dangerous and perhaps illegal, but he was rewarded with a game ball from the umpire.
See? Hard work pays.
All right. When we come back, let's get into where the Rockies are standing pat at. Oh, I got a thought on Emmanuel Sanders, too. I'm going to say something nice about Emmanuel Sanders.
Is everybody sitting down?
Yeah.
Are they ready for this?
I'm not sure. Also, Pat Bowlen. There's the recent push about Pat Bowlen in the Hall of Fame. I guess this is the time that you have to explain the obvious. Mark Schlereth has some thoughts.
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
All right, guys. Well, it comes down to this. The subcommittee is going to meet here for the Hall of Fame, and Pat Bowlen's name is on the subcommittee's vote. And it is time to get Pat Bowlen in the Hall of Fame. And I think, you know, his record speaks for itself. 34 years in ownership, average 10.2 wins per season, a 602 winning percentage. But more than that, it was what he did for the TV revenue, what he's done for this league, the behind-the-scenes work he did to take this league to the next level when he took over in the early 90s, making about $1.3 billion as a league a year, now over almost $14 billion, and he was instrumental in putting those deals together. You think about that. Ebersol, head of NBC forever, said Pat Bowlen was instrumental in bringing Sunday Night Football into the realm, and that's the number one rated program in television every year, Sunday Night Football. So it is time for the subcommittee to get it right, finally. And so it is time for them to vote Pat Bowlen in. And you know what? This is going to be the year. Pat Bowlen gets into the Hall of Fame, and I, for one, can't wait for that announcement to be made. So I don't even have a cleats on the grass for you. Just give me a cleats on the grass.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.